Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Encarnacion looking for his first Yankee hit. Second game since coming over from Seattle. Driven deep to right field. There it goes! See ya! Walk the parrot, Edwin. It's his first Yankee home run. It's 6-3.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Drilled to left field, a grand slam to break it open.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fair ball down the line. Kepler does it. A walk-off winner in 17 innings.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague hanging out with you yet again. Playing a little bit of musical chairs here on The Fan. Dirt will be back on Friday. Just as a reminder, he did not get fired. His name is still on the show. It's okay. He'll be back. Joe Fisher hanging out today. Jason Swigart having a little bit of a party here this afternoon on Portland Sports Leader. A lot going on in the world of sports. But I don't want to start with sports. I want to start with something that I was just made aware of no less than 3 minutes ago. I'm on my way to the studio. I had this Invisalign thing going on, and it was supposed to be done. I think I have to do it for like an extra 6 months for, I don't know, whatever reason. And I've been doing this Invisalign thing, and it's been great. My teeth are pretty straight. Everything's been looking good. But what they don't tell you when you have to do Invisalign, or what they tell you but like you don't think about, is when you do Invisalign, you have to brush your teeth every single time after you eat. You have a snack, brush your teeth. Another snack, brush your teeth. Dinner, brush your teeth. Breakfast, brush your teeth.
That sounds terrible.
Well, because you're putting aligners on your teeth. So if you don't brush, you're trapping it in there, and then there's cavities or bacteria or whatever.
Right, right. That just sounds so damn tedious.
It sucks. You know, it does. It sucks. I won't lie about that. It's probably the worst thing, without a doubt, that you have to do. So they tell me I have to do this. I'm adjusting to it. It's normal for me now.
I got the routine down.
Yeah, I always have my toothbrush on a travel bag, like the one from Manscaped, or have it in my backpack if I go to work with some toothpaste, and I'll go to the bathrooms here and I'll brush my teeth. Well, I go in there today and I brush my teeth, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's go have a good radio show. Let's get going. I walk out of the restroom. I have my toothbrush and my toothpaste in hand. And these two promotions goddesses, Madison and Ika, both go, well, that wasn't 2 minutes.
Oh, no.
But they weren't talking. They weren't like, I wasn't looking at them in the eye. I was kind of, my back was to them and I was walking towards my desk. And I turned around for a second and I'm like, are they talking to me? So I turn around and go, were you guys talking to me? And they were like, yeah, that wasn't 2 minutes. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they go, what did you brush your teeth for? For 45 seconds? And I said, I mean, probably. And they go, really? And I was like, I have an electric toothbrush. And they go, yeah.
Does that expedite the process, though?
I kind of thought it did. Because it's getting in the crevices. It's like quicker. You can move it around a little bit.
Cut down the time by 50%.
It lights up when it tells you you're brushing properly versus when you're brushing
too hard. Yeah, too hard.
Exactly. And I go,
gums are going to bleed.
I go, what are you talking about? They go, you're supposed to brush your teeth for 2 minutes. I go, that's not a real thing. I go, yeah, it is. They both were saying this. And I go, no dentist, no orthodontist in my life has ever told me that there's a time limit of how long you're supposed to brush your teeth for.
I've heard that the longer the better, but there is not like a minimum time.
See, the only thing I've had in terms of time was I once had the person who was cleaning my teeth tell me that people overbrush.
Oh.
That's the only thing I've heard ever in terms of a time reference on the length of you brushing your teeth. So I'm sitting there, I'm going back and forth, and then we've got sales wonder boy Dave Kinsella walking up, who happens to hear this conversation on his way out the building, and he goes, yeah, there's a time limit, 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
And I go, 3 minutes? So people are just sitting in their sinks, in their bathrooms, for 3 minutes brushing their teeth.
I guess I got to play a song to make that 3 minutes go by quicker.
He drops a line of, yeah, but I got it down to 39 seconds. To which I'm thinking, would you have a method that you want to share with the world? Because you know you've been told a time limit and you're dwindling that one down.
I've cut my time down by more than 2 minutes.
I just feel like if I would have ever known there was a time limit on how long, like obviously you want to brush to get the crap out. So sure. But I do feel like I brush well enough to where I can get that done within 45 seconds or maybe a minute. I can get every little area. I'm getting all the stuff out. I always floss at night. I'm the complete opposite of Isaac Ropp, and I've actually been told by 4 different dentists that if I didn't floss, I'd probably be more susceptible to more cavities because I already get a lot of them very easily.
Mm.
So I think flossing is very beneficial. And I do that. I brush, I don't know, 4 times a day, depending on how many snacks I have. Never in my life have I been told you're supposed to brush for a certain amount of time, and I guess it's 2 to 3 minutes.
You know, this is very funny to me because this is something I'm going through with my 6-year-old son, and he himself also has a little electric toothbrush, and I feel like that he isn't brushing as long as he should. And mentally I've always said to myself 2 minutes around there, give or take.
Why do you do 2 minutes?
Because I think that's just been one of the like urban legend, the myths that's been passed down from generation to generation, and like it's got to be 2 minutes, like the 8 ounces of water, got to have like 4 cups of water per day. I think just with the teeth brushing.
You see, the ounces of water, like however much water you're supposed to have per day, I feel like that's changed a lot over the last few years.
Well, and also, I don't think there's a standard measurement. Like, yeah, you do 2 minutes twice a day, you're good. You won't ever have any dental problems. But it's something that I think about with my son because he tries to absolutely, like, fly through it. And I know that he's doing it, like, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. He needs to go a little bit longer. And it's also about the quality of the brush.
But see, I brush my youngest teeth, and she just turned 3, so she really should be doing this herself. But we're still trying to get her to like, hey, this is how you have to do it, instead of just putting in her mouth and brushing the top a little bit.
Yeah.
When we brush, we're using an electric toothbrush, and we're going back and forth on the right. Then we do the front. Then we do the back front. Then we do the side, tops. Dude, I would say we're out of there in about a minute 20.
Yeah.
That ain't 2 minutes, but I know we brushed all those teeth really well.
I'm sure that the dentist industry or dental industry wants you to brush like, yeah, you need at least 5 minutes, 6 times a day at least.
The inconsistencies of dentistry are very interesting to me.
My son even...
Like Isaac Ropp believes genuinely that flossing does not help.
Yeah.
And he can find a dentist that'll back him. And I can find multiple dentists that will back that flossing is beneficial.
That's the 1 out of 10 dentists that don't believe it that you hear on the commercial.
Yeah, I mean,
nine out of ten dentists say floss.
I disagree with him fundamentally on that.
I do too,
and
yeah.
That's okay. But he has actually found a registered dentist who tells him flossing's not good. In my entire life, through the being like a little 5-year-old all the way up till now, I have never once in my life heard one dentist or one orthodontist or one dental hygienist ever tell me that flossing does nothing. Always like flossing is beneficial.
My guess is that this dentist is a British dentist. And just
the one that he's seen?
Yes, just has jacked up teeth. No, it's quite all right. You don't have to floss at all, sir.
Well, that's like, that's the age old question. Is it weird to you? I think about this from time to time. Are you one of the people that you don't trust people who work in a certain field who don't abide by that field? So like you told me he found a dentist. What if there's dentists out there? If there's a dentist out there with real jacked up teeth, I don't think I'm trusting him.
Right. Like it's like
problems.
The PE teacher that weighs 300 pounds.
I was going to say the personal trainer.
You're telling me to run a lab?
Yeah, I was going to say personal trainer. Like a guy or a gal who is supposed to be motivating you and getting you to lose weight.
Or like a fat doctor,
is
you know?
Way
like
out of shape.
Someone telling you, you're unhealthy. Yeah, it's like, look in the mirror, bud. I think you might need to take your own advice.
There's something to that that I'm like, I don't think I trust that.
And this is the catch 22 I have with doctors and dentists. Like, why are they telling you to do things to make your teeth better? Don't they want you to come back? That's more money. The more appointments they...
No, because they know word of mouth is the biggest thing in their business. So if they can fix your teeth, you're going to tell who... I've already had like 8 people ask me where I'm getting my teeth fixed. And I've told them the guy's name. And I think 2 of them are actually going to use him.
It's like they're telling you the wrong thing. Like, oh, wow, that was supposed to fix it. Well,
but word of mouth is the best thing you can have. Yeah. It's better than any advertisement. It's perfect.
Yeah, everybody especially tells everybody. In those industries. Yeah. But like I said, like the 9 out of 10 doctors, they say that toothpaste works. Don't they want to stay in business? They want toothpaste that's not going to work too well.
Yeah, I don't know.
They want them to come back.
I'm just frustrated. I'd never heard that before. That you're supposed to brush for a certain amount of time.
My son has a little sand timer, so we flip that. I don't know if that's like 2 minutes or not. But yeah, that's funny that you bring that up because that is a mental thought I had. I was like, I don't think that was 2 minutes. Does 2 minutes even matter? I mean,
I don't know.
I got scolded for it, though.
I did. I got
you
shamed.
Of all people got scolded for your teeth or your toothbrushing habits. Like, you are seriously brushing your teeth every day that you are here, twice at least. I feel like
I brush 4 times a day.
Yeah, I feel like you are the most diligent. You bring it to work with you. No one else I see does that. Like, and you're the one that gets crap for it. Not okay.
Yeah,
I'm standing behind your toothbrushing abilities and your routine.
And
here.
I appreciate that support. Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events. You say, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a good show today. Got a lot of movement going on in the NBA. It never stops, not until after like July 6th. So we'll talk about the big trade that just went down with the Utah Jazz. We'll make our stop at the Daily Ticker there. I think the Jazz got better. Are they better than Portland right now going into next year? That's a question we're going to ask and talk about. An update on Al Horford. Everybody thought he was going back to Boston for a restructured deal. Whoops. Max Scherzer breaks his nose bunting. And we've got 2 injury-related stories to discuss today. We've got that one to which I put up on the show page. What's the dumbest injury you've ever suffered? And then we have to talk about this story about Matt Stafford reportedly played last year with a broken back. And he threw 4,000 yards.
That's wild.
I broke my back.
And I just wanted to ask, what's your biggest professional playing injured story?
Professional?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be sports.
Obviously sports.
So like you're in the office and you broke 3 fingers on your strong typing hand, but you came into work anyway
I grinded it out, man.
Got those TPS reports done with 3 broken fingers. I don't know. What is it? There's a super dad brawl at a youth baseball game. Holy crap. The police are involved.
I blame the ump. Make the right call.
That's true. Don't have such a weird strike zone. Got some NFL stuff to get to. A lot of nuggets in the National Football League. Didn't get to some of them yesterday. We got Stat or Story at 2:15. We got a good show today. Joe Fish, Jason Swigert, we're all hanging out. You can see us on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, at Joe B. Fish.
Joe Fish 3?
Joe Fish 3, yes. Joe Fish 3. At FanSwag and at Brandon Sprague. We will start. Mike Conley traded from the Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Hump Day on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Wednesday. We have one stop to make at the Daily Ticker. The big Shams Woj bomb this morning was that the Memphis Grizzlies have traded guard Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, and Jay Crowder, the 23rd pick in Thursday's draft and a future first-round pick. League sources have told ESPN the Jazz will send a protected 2020 first-round pick to the Grizzlies. That pick will convey as a late lottery pick in 2020 or 2021 or become a lightly protected pick from 2022 to 24. That deal obviously complete on July 6th. Just our, kind of our first thoughts when we heard that Conley was officially going to be leaving Memphis. We knew it was coming. It was just going to be who was going to be the team to step up and give him the right package. Utah was one of the favorites to land him, and they've made it work. Utah Jazz land Mike Conley. So their starting lineup will presumably be Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Derek Favors, maybe, and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, this is the end of the grit and grind era. The last piece to fall from that Grizzlies run. I mean, basically over the last 6-7 years, obviously this year they weren't too good in the year before that, but
yeah, it's been a while since the grit and grind actually was good.
Right.
It was probably that Western Conference Finals run where they went up 2-1 on the Warriors, and I think that was in 2015.
Right. Conley, Gasol, Allen, all those guys. I was telling you, I was like, I'm bummed. This was my 2010 NBA 2K team, the Grizzlies. I used to rock with Conley and Gasol, so seeing him finally leave Memphis, and he tweeted about it, is a bummer. But Utah Jazz basically sending over nothing, like when you look at it. I mean, Grayson Allen, who is Grayson Allen. I mean, he really hasn't done anything. Jay Crowder, who is, I think, 29, and again, is just Jay Crowder. He doesn't really do anything.
Jay Crowder is only 29?
I think so. Yeah, I think he's just 1 year away. Yeah.
Yeah, and but then, we know what Jay Crowder is.
Exactly. He is who he is at this point. He's not gonna suddenly blossom into a 20-10 guy. So
and then Korver's gonna be 39 by the end of next season.
Yeah, Korver's almost done.
And he has a $7.5 million left. People were wondering if he was gonna retire. I'll tell you right now, for $7.5 million, he's gonna drag his old ass body through that season. You're not turning down $7.5 million.
If he was gonna retire, he would have done it like 4 or 5 seasons ago.
He's 28, by the way, Crowder.
He's 28? Okay.
28. God, Jay Crowder feels like he's way older.
And then what is it? The 24th pick in tomorrow's draft.
The 23rd.
And then
a
protected pick as well. So, I mean, like, what did Utah really give up to shore up that starting five that no one's going to be able to score on, basically?
Right.
Conley, Mitchell, like you said, Favors, and Gobert. I mean, it's a pretty solid starting five now.
That's a starting lineup that terrifies me as a Blazer fan. I might differ from people on, I don't think they gave up anything for Conley.
Yeah.
I don't believe Grayson Allen's really going to be that great. He might be in the league for a while, but just as strictly a role guy, nothing more. Jay Crowder, we've seen it. We've watched it. We know what it is. And then the other one, give me a second here. Korver. I mean, Korver's going to be 39. Like at some point, even though he can shoot, how many games is he playing? How healthy is he going to stay? And how impactful is he really going to be?
You've seen over the last 2-3 years his impact has diminished.
Yeah, he might get a buyout, and he might go join a LeBron Laker team for the vet minimum after getting a buyout from Memphis, because Memphis is going nowhere. They're starting over. They're going young. The draft picks are okay, but I don't know. I thought this was a really great trade for Utah, and I don't quite get it for the Grizzlies, because I just felt like with Mike Conley, you had an opportunity to get real assets, like really valuable asset or two. And I don't even think they got one. Late round draft picks, those are a crapshoot. I mean, the draft in general is tough, let alone getting the 23rd pick in tomorrow's and going, oh yeah, we're going to make the right pick there. Maybe they will. Maybe Memphis is getting their head out of their you-know-what and they're building the right way. They're going to probably draft Ja Morant. But I look at this trade, and I just think Mike Conley, by the way, is criminally underrated in the NBA. Doesn't get nearly enough accolades for how good and impactful a player he really is. And because he's been in the West, he's basically gotten the shaft on all NBA and all-star appearances. He is really stinking good. And you mentioned defense. I think him going there, and now your lineup of him, Mitchell, Ingles, Rudy Gobert, and presumably, for argument's sake, Derek Favors. That's a really stinking good
and
defensive team.
Quinn Snyder is a defensive coach, as you've seen over the last however many years he's been at Utah. Like, that team is just got a whole lot better with Mike Conley now leading that starting lineup.
Yeah, I just think the job that Utah had today, I was super impressed with, and you got the piece you needed, because Mike Conley is such a complimentary off-the-ball guard. And what I mean by that is he will bring up the ball probably more often than Mitchell. But in moments, he will just allow Mitchell to go create, get his own bucket, play some 1-4, and just kind of drift, move around a little bit. and be that secondary guard. I mean, I really think him and Mitchell are a perfect fit. And in a year where we're going into where Golden State seems down a little bit, a lot. We don't know what the Lakers' whole roster is going to look like. It's basically going to be stripped down to just three players here in a week or two. And then Houston's a question mark now. Portland, obviously, is going to bring guys back with who they had last year, and they're awaiting Nurkic. With all that, the West being as open as it is, this is a move that Utah felt like, look, we make this, and it puts us up into that upper echelon here in the West. I think the teams you look at now, if we're going by rosters of what we can see today,
right?
I think Utah, Portland, Denver, and I feel like you have to put the Lakers in there, even though they have three, because it's LeBron and AD. Houston's a big question mark to me. Daryl Morey came out and basically said he's not going to trade Chris Paul, but we have conflicting reports that he really does want out.
The reports are on so other sides.
It's like, crazy. It's crazy in Houston. I would say those are your four big teams right now. And by the way, Golden State, they may not have Klay Thompson. Kevin Durant may leave. Steph Curry and Draymond Green are still pretty damn good basketball players. And I think some people are selling them a little short on what they could potentially do with a bunch of role guys in the season. Because you get teams from time to time that are tanking. You get teams that don't care as much. I think like a team like the Lakers, whoever they end up getting as that other person and then filling out the roster, I think all those guys are going to take turns with load management. I think LeBron's going to be out for like 10 games to 12 games. I think AD's going to be out for 10 to 12 games. If they go get another star like Kawhi, for example, I think he's going to sit out 10 to 12 games. And they'll rotate and they'll take turns to make sure they're preserving their bodies. And that's where teams like Portland and Utah and Denver can really reap the benefits of that, is the nights that those guys go on load management.
And even if they don't go on load management, because you've seen the reports, is that they're trying to acquire second-round picks just so that they can fill out the roster. I mean, that's how basically little room they have to work with. If they go the route of signing a third star, I mean, the Lakers, they might not be in the opportunity to rest guys. So again, this might not be a picture-perfect season for the Lakers. And then Utah, I mean, Mike Conley, that definitely shores up that starting five. And that starting five alone, it's not a lot of basket cases, if at all. I mean, you got Conley, Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, Favors, and Gobert. Those are all solid veterans, good personalities, smart basketball players as well. Joe Ingles is one of the smarter guys in the league, and he's got a solid first name, I will say. And I think that like definitely puts him in that upper echelon. This is the year to strike, and I think Utah noticed that.
I can't wait to watch Dame and CJ attack this group, because there's something about knowing you have, well, you have the best backcourt now in the NBA, now that Klay is going to be out next year. You have the best offensive backcourt in the NBA, and now you go against this defensive juggernaut. This is going to be, I'm telling you, man, I
know no one cares about divisions really anymore, division rivals and stuff like that. But I mean, the Northwest division with the Jazz, the Blazers, the Thunder, and then the Nuggets this year, and then Karl Anthony Towns, is going to be absolutely wild. All those matchups, because they're so close together.
I just feel like people in this city were already going to be pretty amped to see what Portland was going to be able to do building off a West Finals appearance. Now with the injuries and with the movement, basketball season's going to be tremendous next year. And I'm a biased basketball guy. I get it. Some people out there listening, you guys have endured it, and I appreciate that. Basketball stuff is kind of almost done. We're starting to get into football more and more, and I get that. Football guy out there, I get it. Basketball season's going to be really fun, and it's not just the offseason. The offseason's always entertaining. I think this is going to be a great year for the league, and there's going to be no excuse. If you don't watch this year, it's going to be to a point where you just need to admit to yourself and other people, I don't like basketball.
Right.
I don't. I grew out of it, or I just don't like it. Whatever the reason, that's fine. But this year, there's going to be no reason to not follow the league. This year, the league is going to be just insane.
I thought this last season was awesome, too. I was eating the biggest bowl of crow come the end of the NBA Finals, because I was saying, like, dude, that was such a fun back end of the season. And I wanted to pull it up because January 31st, I even said, this is where the NBA is starting to lose me. This is when the whole Lakers 80 trade was started. And I was like, oh, great. Players can just choose who they want to play with. Anthony, I'm done. NBA, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And then they turned it on. And I think Raptors winning the title might have helped with that. But it was such a fun season. And yeah, it's lining up to be even more wild next year.
So Mike Conley traded from the Grizzlies to the Jazz for Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, and Kyle Korver. the 23rd pick and a future first round pick goes in return to Memphis. Swag, real quick to ask you over the air. I just got an email from one of our tech guys. Is the phone line down? Like, do we have phone operations or is it just our personal?
No, the office phones. The phones in the studio are
separate
from the office phones.
Okay, great. Then we do have a stop to make at the Daily Ticker, and it's in Utah with Jake Scott, who's a host and program director for 1280 Sports Radio. He's going to join us next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 12:32 Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, and I can think of nowhere better to go than Salt Lake City, Utah, the city of Utah, according to the newest Jazz, Mike Conley, who tweeted, can't wait to get there and start playing basketball. The Jazz send three players and two draft picks over to Memphis. Mike Conley now in a Jazz uni. We talk with Jake Scott of 1280, 95.7, or 97.5, excuse me, in Utah Sports Radio, host and PD. He's on Twitter, at Jake Scott Zone. He joins us now. Jake, thanks for the time here in Portland, man. I'll just start. What did you think of what Utah had to give up for Mike Conley? My thought was that you guys didn't really give up much of anything, and you got a perennial point guard to maybe lead them in a wide-open West.
You know, I really felt the exact same way, to be honest. You know, when we were hearing rumors about Conley and the Jazz around the trade deadline, it seemed like the price was going to be really high. And then we see what comes down today, and you're looking at a couple of picks both. You know, obviously we know the first pick's going to be number 23 for this year, and then the protected pick down the road. So that's going to turn into probably two picks in the 20s, which, you know, isn't so bad. And then, you know, Jay Crowder brought some value to the Jazz roster, there's no doubt, last year. But I would assume that he's somebody they're looking at that's a little more replaceable. Kyle Korver was talking about retirement at locker room cleanout, so who knows if he even plays. And then Grayson Allen, you know, he's their first-round pick last year. He did a couple of nice things in the D-League. I know the Jazz were high on what maybe he could become, but you got to throw a little value in there, so maybe that's somebody the Grizzlies are looking at that they can develop. But I felt the exact same way. This is exactly what this Jazz team needed to help them take the next step.
Now, the Warriors' injury has changed things for basically everybody in the West now. Was this move, before that injury happened, did Utah feel like a move like this would put them into the top tier of West teams even before the injuries happened? Or was that something after that they happened, they said, go for Conley, this could be the year that we strike?
I think that this was somewhat inevitable, and maybe you look at it and say, well, it would have been futile if those injuries never happened, and maybe they got a little lucky that they did. But here's really the deal of it, is Donovan Mitchell is on the cheap on his rookie deal for a couple more years. Rudy, this year, qualified for the Supermax that he'll be eligible to negotiate that extension coming up in a year. I mean, they're going to have to pay those guys eventually. And right now they've got about a two-year window, and that's why I know Conley's contract is huge, and that's a lot of money. But it's only got 2 years left on it, and that's the window that Jazz really have with Donovan Mitchell on the cheap, where they can go out and add a high-priced talent like that before they have to, you know, kind of figure things out with their two young, hopefully rising stars.
Yeah, Jake Scott is our guest, sports radio over there in Salt Lake, at Jake Scott Zone on Twitter. If you want to give him a follow, we're talking about the Mike Conley trade from Memphis now to Utah. What's the next step, you think, for Utah? The starting five is pretty good. I don't know why, but I'm blanking right now, Jake, if you could correct me on this. What's the situation with Derek Favors? I don't know why. I feel like he might be in contract talks. Maybe I'm way off on that, so sorry. And what do you think the next step is for them, maybe on the bench?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Favors, because that's actually a really interesting part of today's story that not a lot of people are talking about, is he was not included. Now, the Jazz have until July the 6th to pick up his contract option, which is about $16.5, $17 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. So the fact that they didn't have to pick that up and include him in the trade today gives them some flexibility if they want to take that first week of free agency and see if something's out there. so they have that flexibility maybe to use that money somewhere else. Or if they don't find what they're looking for, I know for a fact that they'd be more than happy to pick up that option on favors. So I think the fact that he wasn't included today is extremely important. But really, what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to take their mid-level money, maybe that favors money, we'll see, and they're going to have to go find some 3-and-D type of guys. They don't want to sacrifice their identity, which is that defensive end. But they really need shooting, and that's why this trade is so huge, because Mike Conley can shoot it. The Jazz, they just haven't had enough players that could put the ball in the hoop, so they've got to go find that, granted with some limited resources.
Is there any names that have like stood out so far that maybe some players have said, or at least fans at free agents that are coming up, that would be a good fit for Utah?
Well, there was all this buzz around Tobias Harris and him liking Quinn Snyder and D'Angelo Russell and Donovan Mitchell having a relationship. But now with today's trade, you know, that's most likely out the window. I think they're going to be more likely targeting guys like, say, like a Danny Green or somebody that they can get at a little lower price tag that's willing to come in and be more of a role type guy. They need somebody to replace Jay Crowder, a stretch four type guy. I don't know what, say, Nikola Mirotic would pull in. Out on the free agent market, they might be able to scrape enough money together for something like that. But they have their core. Now they need guys to play roles and fill in, and they certainly need shooting.
You know, Jake, and we're talking with Jake Scott here, 1280, 97.5 down in Salt Lake Sports Radio. I said this a while back, and for all the people who talk about all-stars leaving and making super teams, because we like to complain about that a lot with some of the teams that have been formed, I also made a point, like, you can look around and also see a lot of solid stars that just are embracing the cities they're in. Dame does it really well here. Harden's fully committed to Houston. Giannis seems fully committed to Milwaukee. And another guy that I think of now, even though he's just a few years in, is Donovan Mitchell in Utah. It seems like he's loving it there. What's kind of the vibe you guys get with him? Does he seem like, at least right now, a guy that wants to commit his entire career and be a Jazz the way that Damian kind of does here in Portland? Is it still a little unknown? How are you guys feeling about Donovan Mitchell's future?
Well, first of all, I'm jealous of you guys that you get to cover Damian Lillard on a day in and day out basis. He's amazing when he comes to town. He goes right to his alma mater up to Weber State, constantly giving back. He's got a ton of fans here. And it's not a surprise at all that he's showing loyalty to the Blazers. That's kind of who he's been going back to, certainly when he was at Weber State. But as far as Donovan Mitchell goes, this town has just totally fallen in love with the guy. He said all the right things about wanting to stay here, make a career here. Rick Pitino, his college coach, was in town for a game last year, and he said at a function that the Jazz have a player for life, you know, that he's not going anywhere. So all those signs are great. He's amazing in the community. I don't know if you guys heard this story out there, but last year on the 4th of July, he just threw out on Twitter and said, "Hey, who's got a 4th of July party going on?" And a fan got back to him and said, "We got a pool party over here." And next thing you know, Donovan Mitchell is showing up at some random Jazz fan's house just because he was bored on the 4th of July. I mean, he's a great dude. His father is in the, he's an executive for the Mets. And so he kind of, I think he's been, you know, groomed for this in a way where, you know, he knows what players mean to the community and how to behave. And he's been unbelievable coming off of, you know, Gordon Hayward was a great citizen here for a while, but he was kind of prickly, you know, he didn't really embrace the fans and that sort of thing. And Donovan is completely the opposite. In fact, they dedicated a pedestrian bridge downtown is now the Donovan Mitchell Bridge. So, I mean, he's a neat player and certainly a neat personality.
Well, it's a cool story to see guys like that love the city that they get drafted in. It reminds me of a lot of Damian Lillard and kind of what he's still doing here in Portland. Congrats on getting Mike Conley. I've heard nothing but great things in terms of dealing with him from a media perspective. And we'll see what Utah can do. That team is going to be really deadly defensively in a wide open West. And Jake, I'm sure we're going to have you on again once basketball season gets going to talk about the Utah Jazz.
Absolutely, anytime. And hey, what a run to the conference finals by the Blazers. Boy, was that fun to watch.
It was great. Maybe Utah, Portland in next year's Western Conference Finals. That would make it really entertaining.
Mark it down. Let's do it.
There we go. Jake Scott, 1280, 97.5 Sports Radio in Salt Lake, the PD, and host as well, our guest here for the Daily Ticker. Thanks so much for the time, Jake.
My pleasure.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Jake Scott, Sports Radio in Salt Lake. The Jazz get a little bit better. They get Mike Conley. More than a little bit better. I think they got really, really better.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm sure everyone up here would love a Blazers-Jazz Western Conference Finals. I don't know if the NBA...
The NBA probably wouldn't be happy about it, but no. I don't care.
No, exactly. I don't care about them either.
I want to ask this question real quick, and then we'll get to some other stories at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Even though Portland has yet to really do anything, and they might, does it feel like today the Jazz got better than the Blazers going into next year? The Better You Today text line is 55305. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we got some more stuff to get to in hour number two. That's straight ahead on 1080 The Fan. Yeah, this is a good point by one of our P1s at the Better You Today text line. Damn, everyone wants a Danny Green. If I'm Danny Green, I want to get paid. I finally listened to that Simmons-Russillo pod. It's like 2 hours, but it's pretty good if you're an NBA nerd like me. And they mentioned the Danny Green stuff a little bit. And, you know, they tried to put a number on Green, and they were like 6 to 7 a year. And I'm thinking the same thing as this listener. Everybody seems to say, we need a 3-and-D guy. And what's the name that everybody throws out? It's Danny Green.
Yeah.
Like, if that's your example, he is actually available. I'm not taking $6 million a year. I want 12.
Yeah.
You think I'm that valuable? You need a 3-and-D guy? Guy that's going to go get a 38% clip from three and play good defense?
Two-time NBA champ.
Pay me some money. Did he only win one in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Joe Fisher hanging out today. Did the Utah Jazz get better than the Portland Trailblazers? Are they officially better than Portland? We know Portland might still make some moves. We assume they're going to have to fill some roster spots. But as we sit here today, is the Utah Jazz better than the Portland Trailblazers? I actually want to start with one Jason Swigard to get his thoughts, because Mike Conley goes to the Jazz in that trade from Memphis and now is running point alongside Donovan Mitchell for Utah. Is Utah better than Portland?
I don't know that they're better. I'm still not sure about the forward tandem. Not that, I mean, the Blazers, that's probably their weak link too. But I think I would rather have Nurkic than Gobert.
I don't think I can have Nurkic till March.
True.
Maybe March. It might even be later.
I guess I'm thinking, towards the end of the season.
I see what you're saying, the long term.
But long term, Nurkic provides me more at both ends of the floor. Gobert is unbelievable defensive end. I don't think they utilize him offensively. Now, Conley might be the key to unlocking more offensive potential with Gobert.
Those pick and rolls are going to be dangerous.
And that's the scary part of what Utah does. But Ingles defensively isn't anything scary. And so, I think it puts them on par with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's more even, but I don't know that they're necessarily have surpassed the Blazers at this point.
Yeah.
It's hard to say when you haven't, it's the classic. You can't say that they're better if you haven't seen a single game with them, but that group, it's not like a haphazard thrown together. Well, kind of like the Lakers are almost like, I go back to the personalities with the Utah Jazz. That's a smart team. And so to say that they aren't better than the Blazers when Blazers haven't done anything, might lose Aminu.
All respect. I don't think they're going to lose Aminu for sure. All due respect to Portland because they had an incredible run, and I don't want to shortchange what they are. They're a good regular season team who I think took real strides in the postseason and clearly got to a point they hadn't been in 19 years. But all due respect to them, Utah split the season series with them last year, and that was with health. And sure, they beat Utah really bad. Utah also beat them really bad. I think I really do feel this way. Portland was bigger in the moment, but I think team-wise, they were already pretty close. And now you've added a substantially better point guard, in my opinion, in Conley over Rubio.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm going to wait for Portland to make their move, and I'm not freaking out over here. But I think today, right now, I think Utah got better. Because I think and this is what it is Mike Conley, to me, does not get respect. We already had one person text in, Rubio Conley, basically the same thing to me.
No.
I don't know how we walk away watching those two players play with that feeling. Mike Conley is a really good point guard. It's just because he plays in the West. He doesn't get that respect because he doesn't make those appearances because, quite frankly, it's tough. Westbrook gets attention. Dame's getting a lot of attention now. You've got Steph already there. Like, it is not easy. Chris Paul's been in the West for a long time.
It's funny, as time goes on, you realize how good Mike Conley is and how not good some of these guys actually are. Like a Kyrie. I mean, you see the kind of personality he is. Would you rather have a Kyrie or a Mike Conley running things for you right now? You know, probably have Mike Conley. He seems like a safer bet.
I would take Mike Conley because Mike Conley's less drama.
So as time has gone on over this last 5 years, I mean, since Conley's entered the league, I think it's shown through people's play attitudes that Conley is a much better player than he's gotten credit for.
So 36% from three, 21-6 last year for a garbage Memphis team.
And Rubio had, I think, 12.5 in like six last year, and that was considered a good season for him finally.
Well, and he can't shoot. I mean,
not at all.
Ricky Rubio is not a guy that I would ever be like, yeah, I want him shooting my 3-point shot.
There was at
one point, Conley can do it.
At one point in Ricky Rubio's career, he was the worst shooter in NBA history. Like with the minimum shot attempts and minimum games played, the worst in NBA history. That's changed. He's gotten a little bit better, but he is still terrible at shooting.
I think this is a good thing too. Like, even if people are disagreeing with me saying that, I still think this is a great thing for Portland, because now you have applied, albeit he's probably not making this huge, crazy move. I think this is a good move because I think it puts Neil Olshey in a position of, yeah, we got to the West Finals, but man, if you get complacent in this league, if you think you can just sit back and you're dealing with an injury now next year with Nurkic gone, you might not have an Enes Kanter. So what's your center position really looking like? Is it just Myers? And are we sure we're going to see the same Myers we saw in game four?
Well, someone on the Better You Today text line thinks he's a 2010 guy next year.
Myers?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I disagree with that, but that's fine. Like, I think this is a good thing for Neil Olshey, and Portland fan.
Put some pressure on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make the right moves. It's not a lot, but make the right moves, and you're right there. Again, I'm not freaking out telling you Utah's going to finish ahead of Portland next year at the end, but Utah, to me, right now, is a really stinking good team. I don't need to see them play a game. I feel like I know. Donovan's going to be freed up now as a scorer. That assist point guard duty is going to be left to Mike Conley. You can stagger their minutes, and they can, whoever it is, run with twos. You've got Ingles, who's a pretty good player and, you know, sneaky good defender and
shoot the three.
Kind of one of those core, you know, secretively good offensive type players. And Rudy Gobert, we know what he brings defensively, and he's a monster to deal with on the pick and roll because of the length. I like this move a lot by Utah. I really do. I think I'm conveying that, and I don't want Portland fan to think that I think Portland's now going to suck and not be close. I think the West can be great, and I think this, I wake up and you drive into work. I missed this trade. I was on my computer. I closed the laptop. I drive in. This trade happens. And my first thought is, awesome. Now Neil Olshey has to make the right moves necessary, or make sure he has the right pieces necessary to get with Portland. And Portland will have a legit shot next year to maybe get back to where they were this year.
The Blazers finished three games ahead of the Utah Jazz last year, both 50-win teams.
Would have been close to two had Anthony Simons not gone off against the Kings.
That last game of the year, exactly. So Utah Jazz, they definitely made themselves better. Whether they are better than the Blazers, though, right now, I'm not going to say that just because we haven't seen them on the court. It's going to be good matchups all year long between the Blazers and the Thunder, but until the Blazers do something or not do anything, until the season starts, then I'll obviously say, you know what, that Jazz team. But I think this offseason for the Blazers is the first time they can actually do something. They have expiring contracts. They want to try and make a run of it, so they don't care about draft picks, essentially. So it's not done and over for them to make one move and add someone. But if they stand pat and just basically re-sign Aminu and keep everything as is, starting the season, I don't see how the Jazz aren't a better team.
Well, you don't get a lot of national attention, but I what I did catch from the Simmons pod with Russillo, which if you like basketball, you have to listen to that podcast when those two dudes do it. What caught my attention, they don't talk a lot of Portland almost ever, even though they went to the West Finals, they still don't talk about them a lot. But what they mentioned obviously was the expirings, and they had thrown out there was Portland maybe a dark horse that was trying for Davis, but just didn't have, obviously, what L.A. offered and three guys plus, what was it? Was it three draft picks? Four draft picks? Whatever it was, Portland couldn't match that. I mean, maybe they offered CJ, maybe they didn't. They didn't really specify if they truly made the offer. It was just saying, was Portland a dark horse? And that's what I'm wondering. And I think that's why I'm so excited for the summer is I want to see Portland build off what they did and not sit back and just go, well, we did it last year. We're going to do it again. That can be costly. That really can cost you a year if you don't make the necessary changes. The beauty is they're almost forced to have to make some moves because of the Hood Cantor situation, the Curry situation. Right. Unless they make a trade, I don't know how they afford Rodney Hood. We'll see what teams offer Enes Kanter. There is like a sliver of me, because I've seen crazy weird things happen in this league, where I think, would Kanter say, I'll take one more year at $5 million because I love it here? It's a sliver. Realistically, he's probably gone. And Curry didn't, I forgot who it was, but remember we interviewed somebody and they had basically said Curry probably didn't enjoy his time here because he wasn't getting as many shots, as many minutes. And he was a guy that proved in the playoffs he can be valuable. Yeah. So those three are gone. There's just a minimum right there. Al Farouk, we have his bird rights, so I just feel like we're going to pay him and give him a little more, and it's not going to hit our cap. They're going to have to make some necessary roster moves. It's just going to be, are they going to make those right ones that put Portland right back in that conversation with everybody, or do they stand pat for the most part, pick up the Nick Stauskas of the world, and people just hope that they hit again?
You know that GIF of Zach Galifianakis and all the numbers are flying by? That's how I felt like trying to understand the cap situation in the NBA the last couple of days, how the Lakers are supposed to make moves, and knowing that those contracts for the Blazers are coming off the books and basically not being able to figure out the cap system. It's like no holds barred this offseason. They can do just about anything, I feel like. And if they do stand pat, I feel like it's another offseason of Olshea just playing it safe, rolling the same team out there, which is okay, but you're seeing that other teams are adding to their roster. They're going for it this year.
Well,
so, I mean, that's just, to me, it's not good enough, especially with contracts coming off the books. The Western Conference Finals last year, for you to just roll it back out, hope Nurkic is the same when he comes back maybe in March, I don't think that's a safe bet going into this season. You got to add something that's really going to bolster the lineup dramatically.
I find it interesting in this sense, and we may get to this later. Blazer fan, there's like one of two ways they view this. Stay at the salary cap, stay at that number and just get roll guys. Because look, I don't blame them. We went to the West Finals. Or it's the other crowd. Stop caring about the cap. Go over it and do what it takes.
And that's where I'm at right now. It's like, this is the moment to strike.
Well, but here's the thing. For people that might text and go, Sprague, that's stupid. We all want the best player, even if we go over the cap. Okay, great. But when they made, and albeit they were wrong, the wrong moves, all we bitch about now is the salary cap. We got no money. Well, what if you make a big move, you go way over, and that move doesn't work? You're going to be bitching about it again. So it's a very interesting position Neil Olshea is in today. Utah, I think they really gave up next to nothing. Well, I just do not believe Grayson Allen's going to be that great. Jay Crowder is what Jay Crowder is. Kyle Korver's basically on retirement mode. And that those draft picks,
it's question marks.
Maybe you get one player out of those draft picks. So Utah gets Mike Conley in a trade this morning. We got some more stuff to get to here in hour number two. We got some NFL to get to as well. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy hump day. We're back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.